Okay.
So I hope we can try and follow this process that I outlined. I didn't hear any contention about it, so let's just try that and see how far it gets us.
That sounds fine. And Matt is here? Is that right?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just listening and being an observer.
Okay.
Because I think, if I recall correctly, that all of this is really for people who have code available today, and I don't, so I really don't have. I will in the future, but right now I'm not ready to make that contribution yet.
Well, no, I think we also need help in defining the specification, which is the intent of these workshops.
Well, I think I can do that. I guess I'm just a little confused. I thought somewhere in the past few months, I thought that these set of meetings would be for individuals who were ready to contribute, you know, today. So I guess I'm confused, but I can help with wherever I can. I'll be glad to help with.
Okay. Well.
So sorry. I was confused. My apologies.
Well, join the club. we're going through the high-level organization that Ken provided to us in terms of the the chunks of capabilities, and we're just going to beat through them to specify them. And hopefully when we do that, people who are participating and if they have code can give us some insight as to how the best way to specify the API so that it would act sort of as a depending on what code wants to be provided, a facade to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you want to start then?
Who's that directed at, Ken?
There is a little announcement I should make before we get into the agenda. Is that all right?
Sure, please.
It's kind of a good news, bad news kind of thing.
Okay.
The bad news is that the proposal was declined. This is the end of that proposal that we made.
Okay.
It was a mixed review. There were two reviewers who, actually all the reviewers said that it was important. They always do that. So they were unanimous in saying this is important, it should be supported. Two of them said, yeah, it's a good proposal, and the third one said he didn't like it because we didn't give enough detail. So they declined. On the other hand, there's some good news. More of a personal thing. The lawsuit I've been involved in has been settled.
So you're taking us to a party somewhere?
Excuse me?
You're taking us to a party somewhere?
Yeah, so this happened just a couple of weeks ago. This is a lawsuit that's been going on for 4 years.
So did you sue somebody or somebody sued you?
Northeastern University sued Google.
Oh.
And it got right up to the point where it was just about to go into trial.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you know, just, you know, the expression they use is settling on the courthouse steps.
Uh-huh. Okay. Then I think you should really take us to a party then.
What was the premise of the lawsuit, Ken?
Okay, it's patent infringement.
Ah.
And I'm the inventor.
Ooh.
So Google didn't admit. Well, we didn't win the case. We didn't lose it either.
Well, if they settled with you.
They settled, so that means something.
So now you're going to retire?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet what the terms of the settlement are. I still have to find that out.
Oh.
But one of the aspects of this is that in my contract, in addition to getting money from the settlement, I also get research funding.
Oh.
And that means that although we didn't get the NSF grant, I have research funding now. I don't know how much it's going to be yet, but there'll be some money in the future for this. So we effectively have some funding now.
So we have to be nice to you. Oh, good, Ken.
So we'll have to see. We'll see what kind of, you know, really first-rate, you know, programming, you know, programmers we can get working on this.
Okay.
And, actually get some real progress. So what's happening? I don't know exactly when this is going to get started, probably later in the fall, but so we can count on having some kind of serious development work in the near future. And that can be kind of the focus, you know, of the OOR, and then you can bring in other individuals who want to, you know, so we'll have a core group, and then we'll have other individuals who will be contributing, just like, you know, you normally have in an open source project.
Great.
Beautiful.
Okay, so let's move to item zero.
Item zero.
Yes. That's where we start.
Yeah, 3-0 should be.
Oh,
well,
what's
let me add back to three.
What page you on?
This would be 2SNL on the meeting page.
2SNL?
Oh,
it starts from 2SOE. No, it's start under 2SOE or 2SNM.
2SNM.
Hi, everyone. This is Mike Keane.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
No problem.
So
there we go.
You got to it?
Yes.
Everybody on 2SNM?
Well, if not, let's go ahead anyway. So the process I had outlined is that hopefully at the end of each one of these workshops, we'll have specified some methods and their arguments, and then we will post them for review and or comment. And then after a two-week period, we go back and review those comments and or suggestion changes or whatever, and then adopt whatever we decide at that point, and that becomes it for that particular method API of the API. So is that clear to everybody?
Yep.
So the first method that was described, I don't want to say how long ago, was, and I'm looking at, do we have a link on that? I'm popping
it's
between.
Link at 2SSL and 2SSE.
Oh, again, I'm popping between tabs here. I should probably move one closer. Where is it? Yeah, move it over here. There's a tab, right. So the initial method was called search ontology metadata, and I put in an argument to simplify that just to find.
So it's
and the notion there is that I think the term find better represents the intent of that method, and then what you actually want to find would be specified in the parameters that are passed, the parameter being an instance of the ontology we use for metadata and any extensions we have for it based on OMV.
Okay, let's talk about that. What are the parameters going to be for find?
Just that, an instance of that ontology.
But we do need a query, presumably.
No. That's part of the ontology instance.
I'm a little unclear on what find is supposed to do.
Well, it depends what you pass in. I'm trying to make find as ambiguous as possible so that you only have to really specify what you want in terms of the parameters that are passed. Parameter, I should say.
What are the parameters?
Well, I would hope it's an instance of an ontology, and in that ontology it would clarify what it is you're finding. So if a field is not filled in, you're not looking for that.
I see. So it's instance of ontology with unfilled fields.
Yes. or something along those lines.
Because, you know, alternatively, we could use something like an actual language, like Sparkle.
Now, the only reason I'm suggesting this is because I had to do this for a different architecture for something else where we had to interface with all sorts of craziness, and we ended up passing in, we had to use XML schema, so you just passed in XML schema, and it would be implicit in the fields that are filled in the schema as to what you're looking for or actions you want to take.
Okay, so what languages would we be allowing here? Would XML schema be a reasonable language?
Well, that's something else we'll have to decide. What the basis of, say, parameter passing or the infrastructure of the OOR is going to use, this architecture is going to use. Is it XML, or is it ontologies, or is it BPMN? You see where I'm going with this, Ken, right? Uh-oh.
No, it's good. I think this is a good suggestion. The question is, you know, we are dealing with a huge variety of languages.
Right.
But this bind is specifically targeted to the meta level. So we're looking for ontologies, not looking for something within an ontology.
Why not?
I think what we're formalizing right now is searching the ontology metadata.
Well, I would say we're trying to define what is going to search for stuff in the repository. One of the things it can search across is the metadata for the ontology, and the other thing is the items themselves in the repository, which presumably are ontologies. So you don't think we can jam that all in one method? And leave it to them.
I think we can jam it in one method if we focus on the metadata, because then we can certainly restrict that to a single language.
Well, part of that query has to, or I should say, part of the parameter that passes in. Let's see, how does this go? So, one of the things you could start by searching on the metadata to find ontologies arbitrarily. That is across all possible languages in the repository, and you get some result back. Then you could then filter it down, unless you know exactly that you want to use OWL or Common Logic or something. And part of the specification of the thing you're searching for would be a language. And of course, if the language is blank, then it acts as a wild card. So I guess it gets down to how we would want to interpret. If we're putting in an instance of an ontology, and maybe I'm abusing the notion here, whether a field is filled in, it's treated as a wild card, or it's treated as a null or something.
Oh, that's fine. I don't think there's an issue with that. I think that will actually work. The difficulty is that I'm just saying that, you know, I'm thinking in terms of how you'd actually implement this thing.
Yeah.
And you're just given this, you know, document or, you know, data. You got to parse it.
Yep.
And if you don't know what language
how to interpret
it is, you can't parse it.
Right. So then we're deferring the interpretation of that parameter to something else, i.e. the parsing. So I guess the question then is, if we do it the way I'm suggesting, we have to then specify the interpretation so you can build the parser.
Right.
And is that obscuring or obfuscating the situation too much? I don't have a good solution for that right now.
Todd, it seems like you could specify the language basically as part of the operation. So I think that's surmountable. One concern I had was that maybe ontology languages themselves aren't going to have some of the expressive capabilities you need in terms of, say, ranges of values.
Yeah.
Say you're interested in retrieving all the ontologies that have between, you know, 200 and 400 classes or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and wildcard values is another type of thing that's not naturally represented.
Right. We'll just get into the specification of how you interpret this silly thing.
I think those are one of the things I think would be helpful to think about specific use cases here, and you know, those would be some of the examples.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, if we can assume that the metadata as opposed to the data now is in RDF, then we can certainly use Sparkle as the language, and then we can just use the Sparkle parser and use that as in
right,
right.
That,
interpreter.
Is that tying us to OWL as the language infrastructure language?
No. This is the language of the metadata.
Oh, I know. But
not the language of the ontologies. The ontologies can be anything. They can be just text.
I know, but here we're talking about the infrastructure of the OOR. And if we're using Sparkle, it sounds like then we're tying ourselves to OWL.
And that's basically what I'm suggesting. This is just for the metadata, not for the ontology.
Right. Well, at some point, the infrastructure has to pass off some of this querying capability or searching capability to the particular language module. Because
no, not for the metadata.
No. I realize that, but I'm thinking of all the possible searching and finding you want to do.
Okay, other kind of finding that would definitely involve other languages. So there's no question we'd have to do that.
Right, and from the end user perspective, I'm trying to see how, or I'd like to have just a single method, and magically, it gets translated or passed to the particular language module as needed, without having to have separate method calls for each particular language.
Yeah, so we could make as a requirement that you at least support OWL. Is that reasonable? Or something else? So let's just pick something. You need to pick something for this.
English.
What is the metadata going to be in, and what query language are we going to use for it?
Well, once we pick the metadata language, the query language then falls out, right?
No, there's sometimes alternative query languages, but the first thing is what languages are we going to be using for representing the metadata. I mean, it could be, we could put it into a relational database. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The important thing is we pick a language for it.
Well, first of all, I thought we were going to use OMV, an extension thereof, for the metadata.
That was the idea, and that's in OWL. So, or is it in other languages? Is OMV just OWL?
Maybe it is. Maybe you're right.
As far as I know, it's just OWL.
Okay.
It's just OWL. So it seems reasonable then to use Sparkle and OWL.
Okay. If we tie to OWL, then yeah, it does make sense.
So we're basically just passing in a Sparkle query.
And what constructs a Sparkle query?
Sorry, I missed that.
Okay. If you're going to pass in a Sparkle query as a parameter,
that's the parameter, right?
What constructs the parameter? I mean, the Sparkle query.
What constructs it?
Yeah. So,
I think it's just the client that constructs it using whatever interface it wants to.
We have a large number of methods that do this, that do, you know, various aspects of, searching the metadata in the sandbox right now. All of those could just be, you know, converted into Sparkle queries. So each one just is a different Sparkle query.
I was thinking from the specification of the API, is it sufficient and appropriate to say that, well, here's this method, and the parameter is a Sparkle query. Have a nice day. That's going to be enough to, for someone to run out and build the implementation?
Yeah, I think Sparkle is completely well-defined, and there are Sparkle engines out there.
I guess for now I'll say, okay.
The same as saying, you know, we're going to have a query line. You know, if we're in the relational database, use SQL.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there any merit to not restrict ourselves to OWL, but just say all the metadata is in RDF? Especially in view of the fact that RDF2 is in the making. And I think that's consuming all of Pat Hayes's attention for the moment. And I have good reason to believe that will turn out actually being a lot more friendly to a lot more things, because he straddles between both the our world, RDF world, and common logic world. So I know we probably have to redo OMV somewhat, but might be useful. I don't know the technical answer. I'm just asking the question.
Who knows OMV the best here? Mike?
I've looked at it. I'd have to go look and see. I think in general the notion of saying RDF makes sense, and certainly Sparkle has tried to get the RDF rather than specifically OWL.
That's my impression too. I don't think they use any you know, subtle aspects of OWL.
I mean, my guess is that the OMV is could certainly be handled at that level.
Yeah, I think that's right. This is Tim Dow. We're looking at doing a little bit with OMV, and it seems to be pretty much just you know, taxonomy with some properties. Nothing more than that. Pretty straightforward.
So Peter,
the proposal then is to have a Sparkle query as the parameter, the one parameter, that the metadata will be stored in RDF, just RDF, and then the results will come back as a, I guess it's just a collection of results.
Right, and then you'll have to define.
The term, I think, is a Sparkle result set.
Sparkle result set, right.
Right.
Sparkle result.
And I think we also want to specify that it's a Sparkle query over the metadata vocabulary, which is an extended version of OMV.
Right.
But then you would be breaking this into another sub module that passes the find to the particular language find.
That would depend on what's being searched for. So if you're just passing in a query for metadata, then that's something OR is going to deal with.
Right.
Then if you get down to particular ontologies, how do we make that transition then? The metadata, one of the parameters certainly has to be the language, version, and so on. I guess once the language is specified, that's when you hand it off to the language module?
Well, there's in a Sparkle query, you specify a name.
I mean, one question is whether for the metadata we should really just basically have a Sparkle endpoint there. That's just generally queryable like any Sparkle endpoint. And then once you get a ontology back, then you would actually use that ontology as a parameter for other operations.
Well, hold on, Michael. If you first make a query So think of this use case. You want to see what ontologies are out there for certain proteins or compression engines or something. And the OOR then is going to look in the metadata, and it has metadata across all the language modules that are federated with it or connected or set up for it. And it's going to spit back some results. And then the user says, well, I like RDF2. And there happens to be an ontology for what you're looking for in RDF2 in the repository. Then you want to actually go and make queries against that particular ontology, if there's more than one, whatever, in that particular language.
Right.
So at that point, you will specify the language you want to look at, and then you want to ask for ontologies that meet these other criteria in metadata and in this language. And then you're going to pull back the metadata for those specific ones. You've already gotten that, right? You've gotten the metadata for all those specific ontologies. So I guess you actually want to make a query to get the ontology or search for specific things in a particular ontology. Right?
I think that makes sense,
yes. Yeah. So I guess the thing is we have metadata about all the ontologies, and that's what the OOR is responsible for. But then the user wants to go into the particular ontology or ontologies in a particular language and do something there. And that's when you have to start having to hand off a lot of the work to the particular language module. So these find methods have to work for both the metadata for the OOR and then be able to interface with the language module. And the behaviors have to be similar. So we don't bifurcate and get a bazillion little variations on a theme here.
A brief question. This is Yefim Zhuk. I wonder if we talk about multiple ontologies and we talk about ontologies that can include some similar or let's say even conflicting things. I think we probably need some mapping component that will resolve, maybe it is another ontology, but specifically ontologies that would provide some mapping between similar or conflicting concepts.
Okay, now that's down at the level of particular ontologies and whether those particular ontologies were consistent or not or had problems that perhaps the gatekeeper wouldn't have allowed them to come in or aspects of the gatekeeper wouldn't allow them to come in.
I'm not sure that this is the only way to do it, because we would like to use ontologies that from some point of view are completed, from some point of view working ontologies, but in the collection they would have problems. So there could be a way to resolve the problem, but I would think about some other way to keep as is and have resolution outside of ontology.
Right. Well, I don't think the OOR is going to attempt to try and dictate that all possible ontologies that could be registered are going to be pairwise consistent among themselves. So you're right. That's a sort of extra ontological or extra OOR issue. Now, particular gatekeepers may require such pairwise consistency, but that might be a subspecies of the instances of OOR that are more stringent, say.
But getting back to this just the querying of the metadata,
right?
One feature of Sparkle is the ability to specify a graph.
Mm-hmm.
An RDF graph with a URI. So one way we could specify that you are doing that your find is to the metadata is to specify the URI for the metadata.
Okay.
So what we need is just a standard URI that we are going to use for metadata in an OOR.
This is Tim Dark, KBSI. That's actually the road that we're looking to go down. have a named graph for the metadata for a given ontology.
Right. So I suggest we just we agree upon a name, right, a URI for the metadata.
And that URI would be the same across all instances of an OOR, i.e. when you get them federated?
So how do we want to work that? Do you want to have metadata for each OOR, or do you want to have metadata for everything?
No, I think these are supposed to be distributed.
It's supposed to be federated, right? So.
Well, exactly what federation means has always confused me.
And... if we, I think we could just have a single, just treat the metadata as a single name graph.
Yuri Milov online, I have a question.
Yes, hi Yuri.
Hi. It's just a thing that we should define the expected volume or amount of the data, because I guess that how big database or whatever repository we expect it to be managed by this solution. For example, if the...
You know.
We should expect, if we expect it would be like Google database, this is one solution, could be give us the idea to use something. If we expect it would be something less,
yes, less than what Google deals with, certainly, unless some really miraculous thing happens. It would probably be in the tens of thousands. That might be an upper limit at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Google runs in the hundreds of billions.
Or higher. I have no idea.
What?
Or higher. I have no idea what they deal with.
But I think it's between 1 and 200 billion.
Okay.
So we don't expect the metadata volume in this amount.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands. Okay, it does matter. So
tens of thousands of ontologies.
Yeah. So the equation.
I mean, it could increase to say millions, but it's never going to be something like 100 billion.
Yeah. So the language question means that the more convenient for developers, not for the real data. Them.
Well, which real data?
The ontology, the metadata. It's also could be the issue when we choose the solution.
Well, there should be a direct correspondence relationship between the number of instances of metadata and the number of ontologies, right?
Right.
There certainly will probably be some variation in the size of metadata depending on the particular representation language that's supported and or policies that are invoked to make sure the right metadata is actually provided. But there'll be some variation, but I wouldn't expect huge amounts.
Okay, so it makes sense. It's okay, I've got this. Thank you.
So we actually have a domain that we can use, OOR.net. Right, Peter?
Yes.
Oh.
So we could pick a URI using that domain.
And
as
just
the name of the metadata graph.
And then have subdomains for different instances?
You could do that too, right.
Okay. We're getting in too much into the how. As opposed to the what, but I guess we have to think about these things anyway.
Well, I think we should at least say we're going to have a URI, even if we don't pick one.
Okay.
But I don't see why we couldn't just pick one. I mean, would it be very hard?
I thought you just did.
Well, it's OOR.net is the domain, so we'd have to have some URI based on that.
Okay, so let's see.
Metadata.oor.net, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, that's good to say.
Sounds descriptive to me, which is real important.
Okay, so that we've agreed on a Sparkle endpoint.
So a Sparkle query. Sparkle query, how you deal with it is probably by an endpoint, but...
Or a Sparkle query, right.
All right.
The metadata is an extension of OMB. It's an RDF vocabulary.
Ken.
Yes?
I'm not editing the wiki. Maybe it's helpful now that you're sort of restating the conclusions to just capture that.
Put in the chat box or something?
Yeah, either that or capture it in the chat box, and I'll paste that onto the session page. Either way.
I could try putting it in the session page.
Yeah, we'll try to put it in the session page.
Sure.
If you please.
And while I'm doing that, Todd, you could take over and go to the next topic.
Okay. The next topic, let's see, where's the, who's on the agenda?
Tim, is your question on the chat still a question, or do you have...
Yeah. Do we have a list of the methods that we're going over? I wasn't able to find that. Is there a link or something?
Yes, we do have a list of all the methods on the sandbox.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't able to find that. Is there an item number or a link from the meeting page?
I'll see about putting a link in for you while I'm editing the page, okay?
Right, the next one we're going to look at is registrar, and these are the ones that have been identified in Kent's use cases, which I still have a whole bunch of questions on.
Todd, excuse me, my cell phone dropped. I am just coming back. I had a question about the find, if I could
sure.
If you go back for a moment. So one of the most common cases, I think, is going to be looking for ontologies that represent a certain class. And I think that OMB doesn't actually...
They represent a certain class, or they contain a certain concept?
Contain a certain concept.
Okay.
And I wasn't trying to really distinguish between the two, but I don't think in general that the OMB metadata would actually have the enumeration of classes in the ontology.
Yeah. Well,
and so that's something that kind of crosses essentially between the layers.
Yes, and we have recognized that OMB doesn't do everything that we need it to do. And this is one aspect, as you're just pointing out, that it doesn't cover, and we'll have to figure out.
Well, I'm not sure that it makes sense to actually extend the metadata to include that information. I think it's more kind of the indexing, and it also explodes the metadata potentially. It makes the metadata much, much larger than it needs to be, and it's duplicative. So I think it may require either some
hacking.
I guess this may be a case where it makes sense to actually have a more specific find method.
So, Tim, it sounds like you've been working with OMB more than anyone else. Do you have any suggestions as to Peter's quandary, Michael's quandary?
What was the question again?
Did you want to restate it, Michael, or should
I? Well, let's see. So I think that OMB does not enumerate essentially the classes that are actually in the ontology.
They do not.
So,
if one wanted
to, for instance, find all the ontologies that have a concept called dog, I think
right,
we need some mechanism besides either querying over the metadata or querying over a specific ontology.
Yes. You can list things as basically strings or URIs, I guess, but there's no validation. So we're planning on building basically a validator tool to do some validation of an OMB entry. The balance is, you really don't want to go into the ontology. I mean, this is at least our view is, OOR is not meant to allow you to search inside of the ontology, but just to discover ontologies that have certain, you know, high-level characteristics.
No.
Well, I think it makes sense for some. I think that's one aspect, but I think certainly, like I say, you know, people looking for all the ontologies that mention a certain concept is going to be a very common use case, and that is going to require at least indexing across the ontologies by the concepts that they reference.
Well, hold on. First of all, Tim, I think there is the expectation, and it might be a rumored requirement also, that in addition to searching across the metadata, you will be able to search inside of a particular ontology. And actually,
okay.
People wanted all sorts of editing capabilities, too. That might be a stretch. But this is where we crossed over the line of going into what the language module has to be able to do.
Right.
Now, Michael, the situation you're raising is certainly a very important use case, because people will want to see whether a particular ontology in a particular language has a certain concept, or how that particular concept may be represented if there are multiple ontologies covering the same domain. Now, you certainly don't want the metadata to list all the possible, concepts, classes, relations, whatever, that are in the particular ontologies in that language. But you certainly need to have the mechanisms to allow that search or that query to be executed or to be passed over to the language module. Then how the language module deals with it is something else.
I'm not quite sure the language module is the right way to think about this. Because you're not asking anything specific. You're really just looking for, like I said, in searching an index across the ontologies by concept. So you're not doing anything owl specific, you know, or terminologic specific or anything like that.
Right. At that point, no, you're right.
And you also need to do it across, in this case, you know, unless you further restrict it, you want to do it across all the ontologies in the repository, not just a single ontology.
There are both cases. Yes, you may want to look across, see how the same concepts represented in, of course, multiple languages and all the ontologies in those languages, but then you also may want to drill down to a particular language.
I'm
not sure I see how the current find interface supports this.
You're right. I don't see it either.
Mike. I suggest that this is close to impossible. Trying to let's just take the argument that our ontologies are the database schemas of 100 databases, and we want to find out who has last names,
right?
As a concept, and probably 80% of them will have it. And one schema will say last name, the other will say name, another will say LN.
I'm trying to do.
And there's no way you could actually index it.
Well, I think you can. I think you don't try to do the mappings at this level. But I think basically, you know, finding essentially all the databases that have a column called last name, or ontologies that have a property called last name, you know, are the kinds of things you expect to get back. And I think beyond that, you need some wildcard capability. So
okay, and if it says,
name,
yeah, if the the column says L name, then, or LN, then you'll miss it.
Then you miss it. Sure.
Yep.
Sure. It's just basically, you know, basic exact string indexing, I think, is the starting point. And then, one could certainly go beyond that. But, you know, and that's something that certainly BioPortal can do today.
Right.
Could not, Peter?
It could. BioPortal could do
it
today.
Right. I mean, you just type a search string in, and essentially it tells you all of the things that essentially contain that search string.
But at this text string level, which doesn't make it extremely meaningful.
No, that's a starting point.
Okay.
I mean, it's likely to be a more richer. I'm not sure that last name is necessarily a good example, but take. I don't know, some clinical cancer term or something like that. You want to find everything that mentions, you know, that has that describes the concept of osmosis or something like that.
Hmm.
I mean, this to me is almost essentially kind of a foundational use case for the knowledge repository.
Yep.
And I've got some domain I want to model, and I want to see what existing stuff is out there in that area.
Okay.
It could be some evolution. I'm talking about this very common case when people would like to find an ontology in which they curious something about, and they will talk about a concept, specific concept. So I think that when I talk about evaluation, I think that first stage that could be that, okay, we cannot go deep into each ontology and say if concept is there, so Curie is returning empty. You need to supply a better parameter that is higher level. But maybe later on, we will be able to do Sparkle for all ontologies, scan, kind of, yeah, index ontologies, and have this answer answered.
Who was speaking? Was that Jeff?
Yeah, it's Yefim. Right.
You're not on the chat board. Would be nice.
Ah, no. I didn't log in. Yes.
Okay.
Maybe I was there.
So, Ken, I assume you've been typing Natalie away in the background?
Almost done.
Oh. Well, I guess we found one problem with the metadata vocabulary and or the metadata itself.
I'm saving it now.
Okay.
Just a second.
Which page is it on, Ken?
It'll be on the meeting page.
Okay.
And it is where? Put it. Oh. 2SSS.
So you're done saving?
I just saved, yes.
Okay, good. I'm editing just to put Yefim Shuk onto the roster attendees.
So take a look at 2SSS.
Two N, N is in...
S is in Sam.
Right.
Three times.
Three times, ooh. Aha, found it. Oh, okay, cool.
I just typed a couple lines in the chat room.
Okay.
What I think, how it can evolve. And I'm absolutely positive that we just start with metadata, and that's the only place where we do QA.
Okay, so would you look at what I wrote up?
Yeah. And I think that's what we said earlier.
So I was suggesting that we extend OMV so that we have a notion of concepts within an ontology. So an ontology can register what concepts it covers, however it wants to do it. Because, you know, not everybody's going to be using classes, right?
What about relations?
They can do that, too. I mean, the point is we need a notion. Actually, relationships should be separate from concepts, but we should add that to OMV so that when an ontology is registered, they can also register what concepts they're covering.
Ken, I'm not sure that's actually the right approach. I mean, one of the things is it expands the metadata dramatically and also duplicates stuff that's in the ontology itself. So I think perhaps other interfaces into OR might be a better way of fulfilling that than trying to extend the metadata.
Okay. To some extent, the metadata should have a notion of topics or concepts so that, you know, people would know whether to use the ontology.
Well, it has to represent something about the domain of the concepts, correct?
Right. So I think that is essential, and it's not the same as the classes that are represented in the ontology.
Well, but I definitely agree about the domain.
So you can have an ontology with a million classes, but in fact you only mention, you know, 10 concepts that you feel represent what this is covering.
Top 10?
Right. Right.
So I think it duplicates what's in the ontology.
Okay.
Maybe I should drop the word classes. I should use topics.
Yes, that might be better.
Would that be better?
It'll be
topics
less controversial.
Domain, I think. I wouldn't use concepts either because I think that's...
concepts isn't good either, more, I agree.
It's
right.
More complete.
That's a bad
word.
Yeah. I think Michael's correct that the responsibility for knowing which specific classes or concepts or relations has to be not in the metadata itself. That's sort of centralizing things too much. We really need to have stuff distributed properly.
Classes, right. Putting in the details of what's in the ontology is wrong in
right.
the metadata. But we do need topics. Is topic a good word?
The domain, the topics, you know, how that actually gets specified is another issue.
Domain topics?
You know, if I'm doing oncological research, and then there are subdomains of that, and subdomains of that. I don't know how many levels you want to go down.
OMV has something here at this point. I mean, it's probably just a text string.
This is just text, right?
Yeah.
That's right. They have a concept called key classes, which is just a text. The name is unfortunate, but I think the idea is what you guys are getting at.
Yeah.
All right, so let me make a suggested change for that.
Okay. So right now, I don't think we have a... Does everyone agree that we believe we can extend OMV so that Sparkle queries could be created to go and drill down and look for particular concepts, i.e. classes?
I don't think that's the right approach.
That assumes all your ontologies are RDF-based, for one thing, right?
No. But this gets into an issue of how that term or how that notion is interpreted if you're going down to a particular language module. So first of all, I'm assuming that a particular language module would be responsible for going and searching all the ontologies it has under its that are represented in that language. And Michael, you thought it was not a good idea?
Well, I wouldn't try to extend the Sparkle query over OMV to perform that function. I mean, I think that requires a lot of additional magic. I think it really probably should be a separate interface on the repository, and then the repository can figure out how it wants to implement that.
Oh, too bad, but I guess, yeah.
I mean, and even, I guess, we haven't talked much about what language modules look like at this point, but one thing, possibility would be to delegate it to each of the things. I could also imagine that basically the repository just maintains an index, essentially, of, you know, searchable concepts, and essentially that's built on the side, and then you know, returns the ontologies, and you don't get it's essentially sort of prematerialized.
Well, this is a point where I guess Doug Scruse's stuff might become useful, because he gives you the ability. He sort of provides a mediation capability among all, or could provide a mediation capability among all representation languages, and he has this ability to show differences and similarities among a whole group of things. So, you know, if you're searching on a certain string that you think represents a concept, you might be able to get back a whole bunch of results from, say, different representation languages, and then compare how that string is represented or expressed, I mean, defined, and see which best meets your intent or need.
Okay.
But then, yeah, we'd have to get Doug online to help us out there. You have to drill down.
Well, that's probably because that's a tool to help filter among the results that you get back.
Right. So, again, we're not
that, right?
Assuming magic is going to happen by OOR, and it's going to be able to resolve any differences that the creators of ontologies may have provided. A separate method, damn. Oh, well. I was trying to be real elegant and clever. I hope we could. Just jam everything into one method.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I think it's a nice goal, but I don't think it really advances. I think it would impose overly onerous restrictions on the implementation to try to do that.
Well, yeah.
And for this case, yeah.
That was the issue of... if you could jam everything into a single parameter, and then you have to figure out how to interpret it, but then you have to specify how the interpretation takes place. So you're sort of just moving the responsibility from one place to another.
I mean, for queries over the metadata, I think it works well. I mean, I think there's some additional use cases that need to be accommodated to.
Yeah.
That may need some custom interfaces, custom edits.
Oh, well.
So in the chat room, I gave a link to the API, if you want to look at the current API for the sandbox.
I need to drop off the board chain now for my doctor's appointment, but good discussion. I look forward to more. So. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for coming.
Okay.
Hi, Tim.
I think we did make some progress.
I did send out that list of suggested GoDaF views.
Okay.
Right. Did you get any feedback from John?
No.
So I think we have a good specification of how we're going to treat this. If you look at the current interface, I think this covers a fair amount of the interface right now. But there are some things that are in there that are still not quite handled.
Ken.
Yes.
Did you provide or did you develop BPNN for most of the workflows? You have that one fragment in the paper.
I have a fragment in the paper. I haven't checked. I don't know what extent we actually did all of the workflows.
Okay.
There's differences between ontologies. Do we want something like that? I've got 5
answers. What do you mean?
There are five methods in the sandbox. Create diff for latest active ontology version pair, create diff
for all active versions of Ontology, get all dips for Ontology, get dip file for Ontology versions.
And the super method for those is sort of get and then variations on get?
Question, do we even want something like this? I mean, let's talk about what this, what do we do with this?
I'm sorry, again, I had to draw another.
The question is, what are we supposed to do with, I'm looking now at the API.
Which API?
This, oh, did you see on the chat room?
Hold on. Oh, okay.
I have a link there.
Yep.
And if you click on SEI, you get the Java interface. There's also a whistle version of it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, in the Java interface, it groups them, and there's one group of them called find ontologies, which is what we just covered with the find method.
Yes.
I think pretty much everything in this section here on find ontologies is covered by what we just did.
That looks convenient. Of course, then you have to break it down, or it would be broken down into sub methods.
Well, each one would represent a different Sparkle query, basically.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a problem doing that, but I don't think we can do that. We can't do differences between ontologies. And, of course, we don't have search and navigation within one ontology.
Yes. But hold on, we didn't want to get down to that level yet. I thought we were going to go through all of the workflows.
Well,
and
differences between ontologies is kind of a higher level than search within ontology.
Yes.
So what, does anybody have an opinion about this collection of methods? How important is it to find differences between ontologies?
Can this, Matt? My first thought is that it's probably going to be very useful for a number of different people. The administrators may want to use diffs for any type of quality processes that they have. Make sure that for whatever reason there is checks between versioning. For redundancy issues, things of that nature. But then also the user may want to do a diff. For example, if you do a search to determine what concepts are in the different ontologies, a diff would perhaps give you a quick way of determining if a particular concept is in a number of different ontologies. So I don't know if that's actually addressing what you're looking for, but intuitively I would think a diff is going to be very important.
Okay. What do you think we should use as the API for the diff?
I'm sorry, I wasn't sort of focusing on the conversation. What diff are we looking for? Diff on the metadata or diff on the ontology?
I was understanding it to be the APIs that are being referred to would be diffs on the ontologies. And that's what I was basing my response on. Although probably a diff against the metadata might be useful also.
Because a diff on ontologies is a whole new can of worms.
Yeah, well, again, I had thought I had understood that the APIs that we're looking at, that was the issue, whether those methods are even useful. And so that's what I responded to.
Yeah, that's good. That was what I was looking at. And we're only asking for the API. We're not asking what it actually does
right
now. It may, you know, we're not speculating about how to do a diff between an ontology in one language and an ontology in another. But the information about what to compute, you know, you know, in other words, expressing what you're asking, that should be in the metadata. In other words, which versions of which ontologies you want to diff.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the metadata. So that's why mm-hmm. it's relevant to what we're doing
mm-hmm.
right now. So is there, would it be something where you would put in two, you know, you'd specify two ontologies and you ask for the diff between them? Does that sound like a...
Yes, that would be, you know, my first use of it for the reasons that I gave. I mean, but then you can also have a lot of extended functionality on just that basic functionality. For example, if you want to measure a difference between the, well, this is getting down the road, I suppose, but if you want to measure the difference in semantics between a concept and two different ontologies, this, the first step is to do diff. I hope I'm not making this too complex.
No, this is good. It's the way the API currently works is that there are three methods that actually create diffs without actually returning anything. They're void methods. Because it takes a while to do a diff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are two methods for retrieving the diffs that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a two-step process, create the diff and then retrieve it. But a diff is, it appears that it's just that it has three parameters, right? Two of the parameters are specifying versions of ontologies.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is specifying some kind of format.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just returns a string.
Well, that doesn't sound like there's much functionality there. Specifically for that particular API, I don't know if it's going to be all that useful, but the idea of having an API that allows you to do this, I think is going to be very useful. I don't know if that particular API is... I mean, it gives some basic functionality, and I suppose it does have some use, but the examples I was giving would probably provide more usefulness, so perhaps down the road that those APIs could be expanded, or that API for the diff could be expanded.
Is there a way we could express the general notion of a diff so that we wouldn't have to expand it later?
Yeah, I have to think about that.
I think it'd be great if we could just have a single method to express the notion of a diff. Anyway, well, maybe we can think about it.
Yeah, let's think about it.
Okay, Todd, do you think we've covered this topic? Have you looked at... See, where is it? The conclusion there? 2FSS? Any further comments on what's on the meeting page?
My first comment is I suggest we stop here.
Yeah, I think we've gotten
good
progress.
Yeah, pretty good progress. And then pick this up again.
Okay, so I think we... Oh, Todd is gone. Okay, I just saw that. All right, so I think we should adjourn the meeting unless there are further questions. Oh, we've got a question on the chat room. Someone's writing. But I think it's time we adjourned. It's getting...
Yeah.
Late enough, and we'll continue this at the next OR meeting.
Yeah, which will be the 19th, so same time next week. So we agree to
same
do
time next week.
Yeah, do this
okay.
More often, maybe a chunk at a time.
Okay, so let's formally adjourn the meeting, and we'll meet again next week.
Yep.
Thanks to everyone for coming. I think we've made a lot of progress.
Yeah, we did.